The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Fires for the end zone. Kelsey's got it. Touchdown. A brilliant catch and run by the best tight end in the league.
I don't know if there's anybody in the league that can line up and cover him.
Come take that ride, boy. Come take that ride.
Way to show out today, baby.
Yeah. Oh, Travis Kelce. There's no one quite like him, but there is a player in this year's NFL draft that some are comparing to Kelce. We'll tell you all about him. Plus, another skill player in the draft that is literally incomparable. Welcome to NFL Live. Hey, coming up, what should the Patriots do at QB next season? You'll see him right here. We got Jeff Darlington, Mina Kimes, and Marcus Spears here with us today. So much to get to. Let's get to our top story of the day. And listen, this is all about some social media drama. Oh, my. Okay, but there's a lot here, guys. The Panthers are actively pursuing a QB, and trade talks have been on the table. We also know that quarterback Teddy Bridgewater has unfollowed all Panthers accounts on social media. Is Teddy being petty? I don't know. The plot may be thickening here. Do what all of this with you will. Wait, I said that backwards. Do with this what you will. Either way, Marcus, how do you think Teddy is handling this situation right now?
Look, Teddy's mad. Teddy's mad. This is what happens. Like, when the business side of football enters into the fray. Everything is good during the season. When you're playing and you're starting, everything is fine. You're getting wins. When you go into the locker room, your team loves you. You're the leader. You're the guy. And then the offseason happens. And in an unconventional offseason, Deshaun Watson has the potential to go to a bunch of these teams. All right? Quarterbacks, let me put out this PSA. If you ain't Aaron Rodgers, if you ain't Patrick Mahomes, if you ain't Tom Brady, if you ain't Russell Wilson, your job on the line. I'm sorry if I missed anybody else. So, look, with Deshaun Watson, this is unprecedented. This is something that never happens. These front offices and general managers, they never have this opportunity to get a quarterback in their prime that's disgruntled, that wants to get out of a place. So I understand Teddy's beef. But at the end of the day, Deshaun Watson is available, guys, and teams are going to do what they need to do to try to get it.
For sure, but it's not just Deshaun. We know Carolina was interested in Stafford. You know they're going to be looking at these quarterback prospects, Marcus, and they're right to do so. Teddy knows this. He's realistic. They paid him like an average quarterback, and last season he played like an average quarterback. And the position they're in right now with the number 8 pick, that gives them an opportunity to go looking for their quarterback in the future that they might not have again, whether it's going after Deshaun Watson, which is a no-brainer, or eyeing Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, or Trey Lance.
Yeah.
They're going to have to take a look at them. And if I'm Carolina, I really seriously consider going after one of those quarterbacks because they might not be in this position again. This defense is young. They're getting better. They have good skill players. And the cruel irony here, Marcus, is that Teddy Bridgewater is good enough to where they're probably going to be a better football team next year. So they're not going to have that number 8 pick and the opportunity to replace them. It's a cruel business, but that's how it works. And if I'm Carolina, I'm looking at the long term and I'm thinking Teddy Bridgewater is an average quarterback. We need to always be looking to upgrade.
Yeah, listen, if it comes to a young quarterback, Mina, it's important to keep in mind, too, that they have Joe Brady as their offensive coordinator, who's great at developing QB talent. Listen, Jeff, I mean, obviously they want Deshaun Watson. Who doesn't? But let's say the Panthers don't get Deshaun Watson.
Right.
What are their options here?
Well, to this point, to the answer to this question, by the way, is why unfollowing on Instagram, like, we need those Facebook statuses where you could just put it's complicated rather than just not be in a relationship at all, because, like, Teddy Bridgewater at some point is probably going to have a hard conversation with the Panthers if they don't get Deshaun Watson, because quite honestly, this is something that Dave Tepper does. The owner of this organization is a boom or bust kind of guy. He's not going to just tiptoe around in these situations. Next year, contractually speaking, is probably the easiest for the Panthers to get out of Teddy Bridgewater's contract if they were to release him. If they trade him, they could definitely make it much more palatable for them and for another team. It would be just a $5 million cap hit this year and next if it happened after June 1st. But we don't have to go all the way in the weeds there because, quite honestly, again,
well,
definitely getting rid of Bridgewater. It's more about if we can get, we'll get rid of Bridgewater. And that's a very big distinction there.
Yeah, we had a couple freezes in what you were saying there, Jeff, and either way, we got the point, so that's good. We'll see if it continues to do that for us the rest of the show. Guys, let's talk about J.J. Watt a little bit because he is still looking for a team, and don't expect him to make a decision on his next team anytime soon because the three-time Defensive Player of the Year responded to a fan on Twitter asking about if he's going to sign somewhere by writing, quote, "I scroll through DoorDash for like an hour before I pick a restaurant. Man, you're going to have to give me a second to choose a new team and city." Here's the thing, Marcus, I would say that somebody who's able to just definitively choose what they want to eat is like one of the most attractive qualities you can find in a person, right?
Oh, absolutely. You don't have to answer. You don't have to ask that question. It's like Jeff background. If you're trying to sell somebody on going to Miami, put up Jeff Darlington background. If that don't make them go, then they ain't coming. Okay, so look, JJ is right. I DoorDash, I Uber Eats, I do it all. All right, it doesn't take me that long to make a decision until new restaurants enter
really?
The fray.
Ooh.
And then I gotta read all the reviews and find out what the newness is. You know, they put new and hot on those apps. That's what JJ Watt is. JJ Watt is new and hot. And when I say new and hot, he's on the market. He's a hot commodity. Some team is going to want him bad. He has to choose. But new restaurants have opened up. The decision gets tough when new restaurants open up on what dish to decide on.
It's actually such a good metaphor because I know personally from experience, if I'm really hungry, I will pick the restaurant faster. And J.J. Watt, he's got a lot of money. He's not that hungry. He can take his time. He can think Indian, Mexican, Chinese. He's not starving. It's not, he's got the opportunity now, just like somebody who's not desperate on DoorDash, to really consider his options and pick the best meal.
I always just go back to the same ones over and over again, so I don't know what that says about me. By the way, Mina Kimes, your new background, the new blue, looks awesome. So that's painted by Mina herself. Beautiful things here on NFL Live, and we are just getting started.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Carson Wentz headed to Indy.
Back for the first time, homie, here I go.
It's put up or shut up a time for Carson Wentz now.
Carson Wentz now is under more pressure than he's ever been. They
better let me in. Potential MVP-type quarterback.
I would put Carson Wentz into the MVP conversation.
The man said the word MVP.
So the MVP thing, they ain't out of his mind, but he in his feelings.
Go hard to go home, boy, and that's mandatory.
The Colts may have found their answer at quarterback in Carson Wentz, but they still have some big decisions to make in free agency. Look at this. On offense, T.Y. Hilton and Trey Burton slated to become unrestricted free agents, while Zach Pascal, Mo Alie-Cox, both restricted free agents. Hilton and Pascal led the Colts in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns last season. On defense, starters DeNico Autry, Justin Houston headline a big list of names scheduled to hit free agency. So, Mina, the Colts have some decisions to make, as you can see there. Where do you think they should focus their efforts now that they know they've got Carson Wentz as their quarterback?
Yeah. Well, it might be tempting, Laura, to think about Carson's weapons and bolstering them for him, but I really think the Colts need to focus on rebuilding in the trenches. First, on offense, Anthony Costanzo, left tackle, retiring. You can see their performance with and without him in the lineup. There's a dramatic drop-off. I do think, by the way, that the Colts making that conditional pick next year rather than 2021 in the trade suggests they might want to go after a tackle in the draft. There's a lot of really good tackles that they could potentially draft in the first round to replace Costanzo. Then on the other side of the football, losing to Nico Autry and the chronically underrated Justin Houston, that's going to make a big difference. They need an edge rusher to pair with DeForest Buckner to sustain the pass rush and the level performance they had on that side of the football. So that's what I'd be focused on if I was Chris Ballard. Left tackle and defensive end. Then you can start worrying about wide receiver.
Yeah, I have a similar thought, Mina, but I think this team is built similar to what we saw the Bucs were, what they were before they won the Super Bowl this year. You talk about a young, really good defense with pieces, then guys that they need to lock up. And from an offensive standpoint, you look at the skill positions from Jonathan Taylor to, I don't know if T.Y. is going to be there, but Pascal and Mo Alie-Cox and Pittman came on as a rookie and was starting to kind of ascend in that lineup as well. Carson Wentz, and this is why I go back to what I said, the pressure is on the quarterback. The pressure is on him to make sure that this ship keeps rolling, to make sure that he's a above average quarterback that can just facilitate and put this team in positions to win games. We saw him with those opportunities. Phillip Rivers played pretty well last year. If Carson Wentz can add a little bit of the athleticism to this offense from the quarterback position and take care of the football and get back to, I'm not going to say get back to MVP level. I don't think Carson Wentz is going to get back to that. But I do believe he can be an above average quarterback and kind of facilitate this team to being a deep playoff run team if Frank Wright and that connection with Carson can end up being what it needs to be. So not much. Like, re-sign some of these guys defensively. I'm not going to get in the cap. I want Danico Autry back in Houston. Pass rush imperative. Bottom line is, Carson Wentz has the pressure.
You know, Marcus, I think you mentioned how Carson Wentz, it's put up or shut up time, and as we think through what's it going to take for him to get back to playing at, frankly, an average level of quarterbacking, I think to me what jumps out is protection, right? Because we saw how much he crumbled when the offensive line crumbled in Philadelphia. And everyone just assumes going into Indianapolis, oh, that's a great offensive line. He's going to be so much better off. But their left tackle retired. That's why I think it's so important for them to address that position. Because in order to rebuild a quarterback, they need to rebuild his trust in his protection, which is completely eroded. And that starts with the offensive line, not with the skill players.
Yeah, it's interesting. Mina, I think you're maybe a little lower on the Colts than some people are. Marcus saying if, and it's a big if, Carson Wentz can get back to some sort of form that's above average, they could be like the Bucks of last year. High praise. And by the way, if you're wondering if Wentz is going to keep his number 11 in Indy, wide receiver Michael Pittman actually recently told TMZ Sports, he said, I'm number 11. I don't think there's any deal that's going to be done. So he's going to keep that number. All right, Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin was recently diagnosed with COVID-19. In fact, he was diagnosed last week. The Steelers could not confirm his diagnosis, but said members of the coaching staff and personnel were sent home from the facility last week after a couple positives came up in routine testings. According to an ESPN source, Tomlin is in good health.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm a physical receiver.
You want to go out there and play angry.
Over the shoulder catch, Jamar Chase has it for a touchdown.
I just put in the work every day.
Devontae headed for the end zone. Jamar Chase fought the defender, took it away.
A truly special performance by the Heisman Trophy winner.
Oh my goodness. I'm getting ready for Sundays.
Entering the 2020 college football season, Jamar Chase was projected to be the top receiver in the 2021 NFL draft, and he opted out of the season to focus on that path. Then Devontae Smith put all that into question with the Heisman Trophy winning year this past season. And in 2019, Chase set the SEC single season record for receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. Then Smith topped those numbers, recording over 1,800 receiving yards and 23 receiving touchdowns. They're both elite, but of of course, now the question, which one should go before the other? ESPN NFL draft analyst Matt Miller joining the show. Matt, we start with you. How do you assess Chase and Smith and where they'll rank? Which teams will maybe look to take which one first?
Yeah, this is tough, guys, because what a great year for Devonta Smith. First Heisman Trophy winner since 1991. But I have to go with my guy, Jamar Chase. And to me, it's Jamar Chase. Then there is a big gap. And then there's Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle, who are grouped together. So let's not forget, Jamar Chase was amazing in 2019 with Joe Burrow as his quarterback. What did he do over the last year to lose draft stock? He didn't play. He opted out. We respect that decision. This is the first time I saw him play, I thought he was 6'3". I thought it was the next Julio Jones. You find out he's 6 foot tall. How is a 6 foot tall wide receiver this physical, this explosive, with these hands, this catch radius? So to me, it is Jamar Chase. Then you get to the Alabama players, where it's more like last year, guys, where do you want the speedster and Jalen Waddle, who could be your Tyreek Hill stretch the field type player, or do you want that silky smooth route runner in Devontae Smith, who is a lot like Jerry Jeudy was last year, minus some of the drop issues, of course. But nonetheless, it's a great receiver class. Jamar Chase is the dude, though.
Oh, man, Marcus, it's like music to your ears. But listen, take off the LSU glasses, if possible at all, for a second here. Where should teams look, you think, when drafting the first wide receiver in this draft?
First of all, I will never let a Florida Gator tell me to take my LSU glasses off.
I tried.
Because when I take my LSU glasses off, I go blind, okay? I don't see anything but purple and gold. So let me keep them on, because I love Matt Miller already. We're going to have him back a million times,
okay?
Look, Jamar Chase to me, and this is hard because both of these young men are from Louisiana, so it's near and dear to me, and I think both of them are really good football players, are going to have great careers. I love Chase's physicality. I love what he was able to do in a role with Justin Jefferson on the other side. But you can see, like, it's a lot of guys have that release where it's feet and they can release and get guys in space and confuse them. Jamar does that as well, but most of the time, he's just bullying guys. And if you want to add another part to his resume, a lot of these guys played on Sunday this year in the NFL and were solid at their positions as young rookie cornerbacks. So I prefer him. I relate him a lot. Look at this. Look at the guys he took care of last year and put up really good numbers against. So if you look at, I know, right? You look at his resume, you look at his physicality, and I know we get in the comps. My comp is Steve Smith Sr. because I saw Steve Smith Sr. do those same things. How does he win 50-50 balls? How does he get off press? He just throw people. That's how he do it. And he goes up and wins at the top, at the point of attack.
I share the same order as you two. I have Chase, then Smith. I don't think it's a massive drop-off, though, Matt. And I actually think these two guys have something in common. As much as they seem wildly different in terms of size and physicality and whatnot, they're both production players over traits players. Jamar Chase, over the next few weeks, you are going to hear people desperately trying to find flaws in his game. And the only thing they'll be able to come up with is size and top-end speed, because he doesn't have weaknesses in his game. Whereas Smith, again, it's going to be size. He is a very tiny, tiny guy. But it doesn't show up on the film. He doesn't play small. Like, every time I watch him, I keep waiting for that moment where our DB is going to muscle him, or he's not going to be able to fight through contact. And I'm just telling you, it doesn't happen. Both of these players are prospects where you have to watch the tape to truly appreciate how great they are, because it's not just about the height and the weight and the speed. It's just how excellent they are as football players.
Matt, you like Marcus's comp, Steve Smith Sr. for Jamar Chase?
I hadn't heard that one before, but I do like it because, again, it's the physicality while not being the biggest guy. You know, to Mina's point, Jamar Chase is coming in at 6 foot 208. They say at LSU he's going to run a 4.4. I don't know, Marcus, if you believe that time. We'll see when we get to the pro day. But he is not. He's not going to blow you away with traits. But I do like that because whether it's, you know, Anquan Boldin, a faster Michael Thomas, somebody like that who can be that physical slant route post-up receiver.
Yeah, all of us here are going to run a 4.42, so there you go. Matt, let's put you to work on some quick reads here. Some names we'll hear in the first round of the NFL draft. Let's start with Penei Sewell. Why are teams in love with the Oregon tackle?
Yeah, Laura, even though he opted out this past year, we are in love with the mobility of Penei Sewell, who I think is the best offensive tackle in this draft, maybe the best non-quarterback in it. He's played against guys like Derrick Brown from Auburn. He showed you that play strength while still being graceful, smooth in his footwork. He has NFL size, 6'6", 330, and he's battle-tested. He's ready to go. Joe Burrow needs this man at 5 overall. And let's go to Trevon Moehrig as well. This is my guy. If you love the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, if you love Antoine Winfield Jr., he's a bigger version of these players where he can play in the slot. You see him come downhill. He makes tackles. He can play that post safety role that you're seeing right here. It's just range, instincts, coverage ability, oh, and ball skills. I think he'll be a top 20 pick when it comes to the first round. And finally, the offensive weapon, Mr. Electric, Kyle Pitts. Call him a tight end. Call him a wide receiver. Wherever you want to line him up, he can block. He can run routes. 6'6" with the best catch radius in college football last year. Maybe should have had more Heisman consideration than he got because he was fantastic last year. I see Mike Evans meets Darren Waller when I watch Kyle Pitts play. Those two pretty good football players. He will be too.
Yeah, I love that. Mina, Evans in a Waller body. We've heard flashes of Travis Kelce. You just even watching that one of those catches that Pitts made, your face was, you were amazed by it. Let's just put it that way. What do you see?
I'll recreate the face.
Yeah, do the face.
And this is the face I always make watching Kyle Pitts. Because, I mean, he's just filthy. And I normally caution teams from taking tight ends in the first round or, frankly, expecting them to produce as rookies. It's a position that usually takes a year to translate to the NFL. But I'll tell you right now, this kid is going to crush as a rookie. I mean, he is just filthy. You know, I was saying earlier, Smith and Chase are more production guys than traits guys. Kyle Pitts is a production player and a traits player. He is the total package. The only thing he's not elite at already is blocking, which, you know, who needs blocking when you can do that?
Listen, I love Kyle Pitts. Wore number 84. I wore 84 coming out of high school. We have very similar comps. People said I was a mix between two greats coming out. Nah, I'm just playing. Listen. Laura, I don't know if you remember this, but you and I, what was it, the Capital One Bowl that you and I did when Florida played Michigan?
Yep.
I saw Kyle Pitts in person, and I don't know if you remember this, Ailes, but I told you he's going to be the best offensive skill player when he comes out in the draft. And that's what he is. Like, this matchup nightmare that he – 6'6", 250, y'all. This is LeBron.
Yes.
This is LeBron playing football.
Nightmare.
That's what it is. The athleticism, the ability to stretch out. And then, playing for Dan Mullen in an offensive system that's going to really relate to what he's doing on the next level. So he has everything going for him, and I haven't seen anything – from an offensive skill position that he can't do. Whatever you want to do, however you want to deploy him, Kyle Pitts can play that way. And to me, that is what makes him the most valuable skill position player in this draft.
Yeah, Marcus, the fun thing about us is that I never forget anything that you say. So, yes, I remember you calling your shot on Kyle Pitts over a year ago. You know, the interesting thing throughout this season in the SEC, when you would talk to the opponent of Florida that week, it didn't matter. I mean, they had some other great offensive weapons. Kadarius Toney comes to mind.
Yeah.
People who you would have to account for. Every single week, Matt, it was, how are we going to stop Kyle Pitts? So, therefore, throughout his year, this year in college, he was double-teamed, he was triple-teamed, and yet still came up with some of those great catches. Just give us a little more on Pitts from your mind.
Yeah, not only great catches, 12 touchdowns when everyone knew where the ball was going in the red zone. I have him ranked as my number 4 overall player in this year's draft. To Mina's point earlier, I have never ranked a tight end that highly since I started doing this in 2010. I would love to hear if our guys Mel Kiper and Todd McShay have. I'm betting they haven't either. It's rare. And you talk to the people that he's training with, he's 6'6", 250. They're saying he's going to run the high 4.4s. I don't know if LeBron could run a high 4.4, Marcus. This is an elite athlete. And so we haven't seen anyone like this in such a long time, which is why the comps are like, who do you comp someone to that can – do everything? And I still think he's a young player. He's 20 years old. He's still getting better.
High 4.4, Marcus.
Marcus and I are just making reactions.
Yeah. We're like salivating over
Matt, if this dude comes out and runs a 4.4, bro, I'm signing up to be in Kyle Pitts' group. Like, I want to be one of his boys, because this is going to be a long, successful, big-time career. And I want to be a part of the crew, man, because this is unreal.
All right, so we've now put ourselves in Kyle Pitts, like, inner circle group. Let me just get Jeff Darlington here.
Hey,
go ahead.
Not the Florida Gator group. I'm gonna be Kyle Pitts group.
I'm just telling you,
when he in the pros.
Right. If you're in this group,
I'm in this group as well. Yeah. I'll do coffee. I'll get coffee or whatever. Run errands. I'll get laundry.
Jeff, if you're in this group, you got to be a Gator. I think. Sorry, Marcus.
That's exactly right. Swagger started this by pointing out that he's an LSU guy, not a Florida guy like you and me, Laura. So I'm sorry,
Jeff,
Swagger.
Turn your mic on.
You're out.
Turn your mic on, Jeff.
What? I think Jeff's mic's on. But, you know, Jeff's shot there. I think it's too pretty out there behind him, so he's been having some issues today. We'll see if we can get that going. All right, Matt Miller, thanks so much for joining us here. Thanks for all the details. We'll be covering the draft all the way up until the draft happens. And, of course, ESPN has tons of draft coverage coming your way.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Season 2 of Peyton's Places is available on ESPN Plus, with a new episode available every Sunday. During the week, you can always watch all 30 highly entertaining shows. They're streaming live on the ESPN app. Check them out. Let's get Jeff Darlington back in here. Quarterbacks dominating the headlines this offseason. Jeff, let's go through your notebook, starting with Russell Wilson. Has there been any fallout since his comments on the Dan Patrick Show a few weeks back?
Well, Laura, as a reminder there, he made very clear, Russell Wilson, that is, that he was not overly thrilled with the idea of getting hit as much as he has, and also made it very clear that he'd like to have more say in some of the personnel that's brought to Seattle. But in my conversations, this is not something that is getting overly messy. This is something merely that will be worked on in-house. This is not also something where Seattle is considering, nor has a request been made where Russell Wilson be traded. Instead, this just feels like frustrations at this point that the two sides will get through. Another guy, Sam Darnold, certainly caught in some of the headlines about what might happen to him. We've seen Carson Wentz go. We've seen Jared Goff switch teams. Then there's some wonder, would Sam Darnold be next? So far, the Jets not making any moves here, not fielding any calls. Instead, really trying to get a lay of the land in terms of what would be Darnold's replacement at the quarterback position. I don't anticipate anything imminent in that regard. Drew Brees, when we talk about imminent, this is the one that we're waiting for any minute. Not only us in the media, but we're the Saints themselves. Speaking with the Saints source, they said they're just waiting for Brees to let them know his decision, and they believe that decision, of course, to be retirement. The bookkeeping has been done on that. His salary was $25 million for this coming season. It has been reduced to $1 million, the league minimum, to clear space. It is anticipated that he will indeed retire. Laura.
Yeah, we're waiting for that. And Sean Payton has already said he wants the Saints to re-sign Jameis Winston this offseason, but also elected to start Taysom Hill during that four-game stretch last season over Winston. The two have very similar career numbers when comparing QBR, touchdown to interception ratio, completion percentage, and yards per pass attempt. Of course, the biggest difference is experience. Winston has started 66 more games than Hill at quarterback. And Marcus, I think the question comes down to this. Would Jameis or Taysom actually be an upgrade from an aging Drew Brees this year? And this one's hard for you. Tell us why.
You okay, buddy?
Oh, y'all, I'm so scared. But that's what we're supposed to do, right? We're supposed to say the things people won't say. I believe Jameis is the guy. Oh, my God. Mention's about to go stupid. Listen. He had a year, and I've been saying this for a while. Jameis had a year to sit back and really watch the game unfold, to learn from that point of view. It sometimes does a lot for a player not being thrust into having to play and also learn how to become a better quarterback and take care of the football. Ball security, premium. Obviously, it's not a good look seeing Drew Brees throw the picks in the playoff game, but at the end of the day, Drew Brees took care of the football. Sean Payton also has not had quarterbacks who turn the ball over a lot. That's not his MO. So if Jameis isn't the guy, it'll be something that that arrived during the offseason, and he was like, look, he's still turning the football over. I think he's the guy, though. Like, he threw for 30 touchdowns. He threw for 5,000 yards. I know he threw 30 picks. Not all his fault. But if you fix that about Jameis Winston, which Sean Payton has a great history of quarterbacks playing at a high level, they have their quarterback in the building, and that's Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I realize why you're uncertain there, but the talent is so there with Jameis Winston. It's just a matter of harnessing all that.
It's crazy good.
Woo. Okay, Mina, if they do look outside of Jameis and Taysom Hill, what name would interest you?
I think the Saints should seriously consider drafting Mac Jones. I think the Alabama quarterback, it's about where he should be drafted, and I think it's a really good fit. Mac Jones is a really complicated prospect, because if this draft was taking place 10 years ago, he'd probably go top five. But the reality is, in today's NFL, you need a quarterback who can move, whether he's booting out in a Shanahan offense or just displaying the sort of second reaction ability you need to play top-tier defenses in the NFL. It's mandatory unless your name is Tom Brady or Drew Brees. Now, that doesn't mean he can't be a starter, Mac. It just means situation matters a lot. He needs a good offensive line. He needs skill players who can get open quickly. What am I describing? New Orleans. I think it makes a ton of sense. When you think about the scheme and the player, and while he might not be available there, I do think it's something they should consider.
Yeah, that's the only thing, is I actually think he may not be available there. So then would the Saints, with their cap situation, try to think about trading somebody to get up there? Who knows?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're going to keep this band together.
And we're going to win this thing again, all right?
We are the new kings, winning this fight tonight with our name lit up in lights. We are the new kings.
Holy hell, I've been to a lot of parties, I promise you. Ain't nothing compared to this one.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Mina, you know that moment where you saw Tom Brady tossing the Lombardi? Is that maybe a watercolor that you would have handy right here, right now?
Let me see.
Would you look at that?
There it is.
My muse.
It's beautiful.
It's just an iconic moment, you know? It's not that
I
good.
I have actually, Ailes. Yeah. What
can she not do?
Yeah, she's, I know what she's a Renaissance woman. Yeah, I've actually put a bid in on that. But can she do this? How about this? Hey, with the Red Sox arriving for spring training, J.D. Martinez paying homage to Tom Brady, but not for winning the 7th Super Bowl. Martinez reporting to Fort Myers wearing a T-shirt with Brady being helped off the boat following that Super Bowl boat parade
that we just saw.
2021 goals. Be like the GOAT Tom Brady. Hey, by all means, do whatever you want to do there. That's fun. Like, here's the reality. I think when we all look back on everything from this season, a lot of it, Mina, had to do with Tom getting off the boat maybe after a few adult beverages.
That is by far the most I've ever related to Tom Brady, and I will leave it at that.
All right, there we go. Hey, it's no secret that the post-Tom Brady era and Cam Newton's Patriots, sorry, Marcus, we moved, did not go as planned this year. Cam was constantly admitting, you guys, that he needed to play better, and it's worth pointing out that he had to join a new team, learn a new offense without an offseason and in-person workouts, plus dealt with his own COVID-19 diagnosis. Here is more from Cam on the Brandon Marshall podcast. Listen to this.
I was one of the first football players to catch it. It just happened so fast, and when I came back, that's where the lack of an offseason, the lack of having time, really being invested in the system, kind of showed itself. The offense kept going. I was stopped and stagnant for a week, 2 weeks. Then by the time I came back, it was new terminology. And I wasn't just trying to learn a system for what it was. I was learning let's be honest, a 20-year system.
Correct.
In 2 months. Look, bro, I hear all that, bro. Yeah. I ain't never been a favorite. I can't go out like that. My pride won't even allow me to do that. And you could talk about this, you could talk about that, you could talk about whatever. Listen, bro, there's not 32 guys better than me.
You heard what he said. Clearly 2020 was a year to forget for Cam Newton. He posted career lows in total QBR, touchdown to interception ratio, and air yards per pass attempt. Only three quarterbacks posted a lower total QBR than Newton last season: Sam Darnold, Nick Foles, and Nick Mullins. So, Jeff, what is the market for Cam Newton around the league right now?
Well, Laura, it's a great question. And honestly, we can look back to a year ago when we were basically having a similar conversation. And it took not until July for the Patriots to eventually pull the trigger on a player that was sitting on the free agent market for months. There's still not really a huge market for him. And the problem here is twofold. The first of which is he didn't do a ton in New England to show that he is the same Cam Newton that we remember from his MVP season, even though he did stay healthy and he was an excellent teammate throughout his tenure, his short tenure with the Patriots. But from moving forward, I talked to a number of GMs last year that just felt like he was such a polarizing figure, and maybe not all to do with himself, that bringing him in as anything other than the starter could potentially be problematic to the chemistry of a locker room. So unless Cam Newton is willing to take a backup role, which we have never really seen from Cam Newton, the market is not going to be easy for him. It's just the truth.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, no secret that this Patriots team loved him. He had nicknames for everybody on the team, as we all well remember. And Marcus, you heard Cam saying that he's one of the best 32 QBs in the NFL right now. Are you buying that?
Yeah, he is, but he number 32. Listen, this is not one of those situations that's an easy convo, because I always think back to Superman and what I saw Cam do being lined up across from him on defense, but also watching him. And he won MVPs while I was still playing, so this is tough. But I think Cam is done as a starter in the league. I've seen the skill diminish that took him to another plateau. Now, I will say this. I don't know how much of effect the offseason had. I know he worked hard to get back in this position. I don't know how he felt after COVID either. That's an issue. And we talked about that with a few other players that had COVID and was coming back, and they talked about how that took a big part of them. But when I watch Cam throw, when I watch him move, I was like, that is not conducive to playing at a high level if you're Cam Newton. And that is my issue. I think the skills have diminished from an athletic standpoint, which created the Superman aura.
I don't agree. Cam Newton was not good last year, but in evaluating where he stacks up and whether he deserves another shot, you know who had a worse passer rating, a higher off-target percentage, and lower yards per attempt? Carson Wentz, and he just got traded for a potential first-round pick. Now, people are watching that, and they're saying, well, he was playing a terrible offense. Did you watch the Patriots? Like, yes, the offensive line was better, but those wide receivers weren't getting open. And then perhaps someone will know, well, Carson Wentz is younger. He's only 3 years younger than Cam Newton. Now, again, I'm not saying Cam Newton was great last year, but he was in a terrible situation beyond entering a new scheme, as he described there, playing in that Patriots offense that Tom Brady intelligently abandoned, knowing how bad it was. So the notion to me that based on last year's performance alone, he doesn't deserve a second shot, I'm not buying it, because Cam Newton was playing good football in the first half of 2018. So similarly to Carson Wentz, I don't think last season alone should be held against him.
Yeah, well, listen, the other thing, too, is the Patriots had all those players on defense opt out. That was a big part of their overall performance.
Right.
Cam Newton also spoke on Brandon Marshall's podcast about Bill Belichick. Listen to what he said about Bill.
I think Bill Belichick is the most misunderstood person in all of
sports. 100%. 1,000%.
He dope as shit.
Yeah.
He is a cool dude. He understands the game. He's like an historian of the game.
Yeah.
And for you to just sit down and chat with him, like, it's like, damn, like, he's going back and he's got film, like, literally teaching the game.
Well, Marcus, is Bill Belichick dope?
No.
I don't know. But if Cam says it, yes, he spent more time with him. What I will say is this, though. I think sometimes Bill Belichick gets a bad rep about how the Patriot way is run and it's boring to play. A lot of guys want to play there. A lot of great players have played there.
Yeah.
A lot of guys that I talk to say that Bill Belichick is personable. And it's similar, Laura, you know this. It's similar to Nick Saban. I played for Saban. There's a public perception, and then there's a reality to the perception. The reality is, when you coaching, every player ain't gonna like you. So you base it off the majority of players that have played for you or have crossed your path. And most of the guys, to a nail, that I've heard played for Bill Belichick says, yes, it's tough. We practice, it's monotonous, it's boring. I'll tell you the same things about Nick Saban. But what I will say this as well. I like Nick Saban a lot for the person that he is, and I don't know if public perception really affords those guys that opportunity.
Jeff, you're kind of shaking your head. What do you got for us on Belichick?
First of all, Bill Belichick is not misunderstood. We know who Bill Belichick is. He's a brilliant brilliant coach altogether. One of, if not the greatest of all time. But if I sit on here and I'm just a jerk the entire time in public and then go away and I'm cool, I can't be upset that my public perception is as it is. Bill Belichick is the reason his public perception is as it is. If he's misunderstood, I think that he is misunderstood, though. I think we all know exactly who Bill Belichick is.
Well, I think we're going to learn a lot in the coming year and years about whether or not players want to play for him, right? Because the debate was always, is it Brady or Belichick? What's bringing guys to New England? I don't think you can hold last year against him entirely, but they've got cap space, and they're going to be trying to get free agents, and we're going to find out very quickly whether guys want to play for Bill Belichick.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Okay, time for one more thing before we go. Guys, Patrick Mahomes and his fiancée, Brittany Matthews, announced the birth of their first child on social media on Sunday. Sterling Sky Mahomes becomes the newest addition of the Mahomes family. Congratulations to them. And Marcus, now Patrick Mahomes becomes a girl dad.
I want to be funny, but I got to give some pointers to my man, Patty Mac. All right, Patty Mac, one thing. Make sure you allow wifey to rest as much as possible. So the things you can do, do those things. All right? Change Rated. Diapers, get the scent, have the baby understand your scent. And last but not least, when it's over and it's Friday and wifey got some rest, pour you a cold glass of yak and chill out by yourself. That's the key to being a great dad.
I knew yak was going to be part of it. Congrats to the Mahomes family. See you tomorrow on NFL Live.